It's hotter than Hades outside in Nashville, but it's cool breezes inside the Music City Center Hall as we're in Tennessee for the Tokenizing Health Conference. Today, we are going to welcome three guests to the stage to discuss how a platform, an investor, and an end project are all working towards the goal of making healthcare and blockchain work for everyone. We've got the latest news from the crypto and blockchain world, and we'll invite audience members on stage to hit us with their crypto pitch. The hitch is they'll only have 30 seconds to wow us. Wondering what you've got yourself into? It's okay. Since we're at a healthcare conference, it's likely we've got a doctor or two standing by in case you erupt into hysterical fits of laughter or a coma. Just relax and enjoy the ride as we welcome you to episode number 179 of the Bad Crypto Podcast. And welcome to the Bad Crypto Podcast, the show for the crypto curious, the crypto serious, and in the case of Travis Wright and myself, the crypto ridiculous.
That is true. Sometimes hilarious, not always.
Not always.
Sometimes not always. People
sometimes. Sometimes they groan.
That's true. We'd like to call ourselves the blockchain blockheads.
The crypto clowns.
Yes.
Somebody has to do it.
We do. And so that's what we're all about, trying to help the masses understand this whole crypto space, because it's confusing for a lot of people. But once you understand blockchain, then the whole world just sort of, this whole space just sort of unlocks. And so that's what our whole journey has been, is teaching people about the cryptos and about blockchain and the technology. Joel's a futurist. As I said, I'm a marketing technologist. And so like this emerging tech space is very interesting to us. And we looked at all this different stuff that's coming, and blockchain was the one that really hit us upside the head.
I'm a futurist. Travis is a pastist.
That's true. I'd really like to go back to 2009 and buy some Bitcoin super cheap prices. I will sell them to you for half price.
Let's talk, give kudos to our sponsors for this episode.
Yes. First sponsor is GoChain. GoChain is a scalable, high-performance, low-cost, and decentralized cryptocurrency and blockchain that supports smart contracts and distributed applications. GoChain uses a proof of reputation consensus model that depends on the reputation of its participants to keep the network secure. It's 100% ETH compatibility, allows any current projects to lift and shift over to GoChain with zero code changes, to be 10 times more decentralized, 100 times faster, and 1,000 times greener.
So green.
Yeah, you don't use a lot of energy there. The GoChain mainnet is live at 1,300 transactions per second and ready for deployment right now.
It's funny, it says 1,300 TPS. I'm like, is that a TPS report?
Yeah, 1,300 of them you got to fill out by the end of the day. That'd be great.
Did you get the memo?
If you come in on Saturday, that'd be great.
Did you get the memo? Yeah. Our other sponsor for this episode is Solister, which looks like So Last, but it's So Firster. Solister, new healthcare blockchains and dApps are introduced routinely. We know because we see them all the time. They have their own proprietary functions and data, but till now there's not been a common language for these dApps to communicate. Guess what? Solister is in town. They've been on the show. We've had Stuart Lackey on the show before.
Stuart's to talk.
Stuart
right?
is right here. Of course he's here, representing. They are a blockchain development platform focused on interoperability. Say that 10 times fast. That is a tough word. Nailed it the first time.
Good job.
For healthcare dApps using smart contracts on the GoChain network. See the synergy? There's synergy going on here. Solaster's Go70 is a blockchain standard modeled after the HL7 FHIR framework. I don't know what that stand for.
I heard womp womp womp.
Yeah,
I heard.
It's a framework, but it's designed to improve innovation on behalf of patients, providers, and other key data participants across the healthcare ecosystem. So these guys are on it. They want to help consumers, third-party entities, and providers so they can purchase, sell, and seamlessly exchange health data on one unified interoperable standard.
Right. Again, with the big words. The Go70 standard. Very nice.
I did the big word thing.
You did. There was all kinds of big words in there. That was flawless.
The exception that I'm involved and I am flawed.
Good. That's good. Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about what's happened in the news, shall we? You came across this tweet from Philip Nunn,
Philip Nunn
was a guest.
Yeah, he was a guest on our show a couple weeks ago. So listen to this. If you want to talk about the adoption of crypto, here's what's happening. on a daily basis, every 24 hours. In the year 2014, $15 million a day was being transacted in crypto. $15 million every 24 hours, 2014. 2015, that went up 3x to $42 million a day. Every 24 hours, $42 million was traded in crypto. 2016, it bumped up 5x to $209 million a day was being transacted in crypto. 2017, $2.2 billion every single day.
$2.2 billion.
So that went up 10x. And guess what? 2018, right now, even though the markets are down.
Yeah, take a guess.
Anybody got a guess? How much is it now, you think, per day? Last year, 2017, it was $2.2 billion. Anybody want to give a guess?
Those of you listening at home, raise your hand.
Five? 30.
Let's average that.
No, $18.4 billion a day is being traded in crypto. That is crazy. And so the adoption has taken off. More and more money is being put into crypto every day. Even though the prices and the market's a little bit down, the adoption is growing. So is crypto a fad? Is blockchain and cryptocurrency a fad?
I don't think so. Neither does Charlie Lee, the inventor of Litecoin. He says the crypto bear markets are a, quote, good time to get stuff done. I think all the times are a good time to get stuff done. But he's not focusing on the price or the speculation. He's saying, let's keep moving it forward.
Yes, let's keep moving it forward because I sold all the Litecoin. He sold all of his Litecoin at the all-time high price. And I think he's doing pretty good now. So he's like, now's a good time to get stuff done because I don't even, you know. Mm-hmm.
He says,
count my money.
In the long term, price tells us the success of cryptocurrencies, but short term, it doesn't really tell us much. For example, this year, there's been so much adoption in Bitcoin and Litecoin, but their price has dropped 60, 70%. It's because it's so volatile. It's all about speculation these days, but in the future, the price will reflect the success of the currencies.
Mm-hmm. Said it's hard to predict what the or when the bear market's going to turn or what the price is going to be like in the next over the course of the next 7 years. But there's been a ridiculous amount of positive momentum, and this is great. So it's a good time to sort of reflect. I always say, well, what is the quote by Warren Buffett? Is be greedy when others are fearful, and be fearful when others are greedy. Well, this is a time where there's the down market, and so there's a lot of really, really great cryptos out there that are at super ridiculously low prices. So if you are an investor, time to maybe do some research on some of the stuff.
But we are not financial advisors.
That is true. We are not.
We are not medical advisors.
We're not healthcare professionals either.
We're barely podcast advisors. We're barely podcasters.
That's true. Well, we've put out a lot of podcasts.
We have done a lot of podcasts.
We fake it till we make it.
One of the reasons, of course, that we could be in a bear market is because we're awaiting regulation. And it's interesting that behind the scenes, we have the North American Securities Administrators Association that has been working on Operation Crypto Sweep. And they've announced that there are now over 200 investigations taking place of ICOs and crypto-related investment products.
Yeah.
I hope it's not bad coin.
Yeah, right. The North American Securities Administration Association, NASA. It's a little extra A at the end.
NASA.
But they're not showing us which. They've not showed us which 200 are under investigation yet, so we don't know.
Is it you?
It might be you. If your blockchain project is one of the 200, and we'll just edit you out of the show. You were not here.
This is interesting. Since the project's launch in May, investigators discovered about 30,000 crypto-related domain names, most of which were registered, guess when? In January, when Bitcoin hit 20,000. So there's a lot of people that were trying to scam others and jump on the Bitcoin bandwagon. And, oh, they'll be back again, right? Because I believe, as you do, as many of you do here, that Bitcoin is going to see all-time highs again in the future. And when the media starts picking up and talking about crypto again, we're going to see some of the same craziness.
Yeah, right now it's, you know, news is hate Trump as much as possible. Don't talk about Bitcoin. I'm ready to talk about Bitcoin and ignore that guy. Yeah. So let's make crypto great again.
Let's get back to what's important. Speaking of making crypto great again, we're heard all over the world on the Bad Crypto Podcast, except a few nations where these podcasts are not available.
190 countries.
Yes. One of them.
Like there's like one dude in one country who's listened to us at once.
Yeah.
Probably. But it counts.
There's one dude in Iraq, right?
Yeah, he's the dude in Iraq is listening to us.
But I was about to go so politically incorrect there, but I'll behave for the moment. Apparently, the impact of the North Korea summit extends beyond peace talks. North Korea is reportedly ready to host its own cryptocurrency and blockchain conference. They are keen to show off their blockchain skills.
That's pretty exciting. I
mean, look, there's Leader. He's smiling.
He is so happy.
He's like, yay, blockchain.
He's like, Bitcoin to the moon, Lambo.
So once upon a time, we get to travel all over and speak and do our show. And I never thought that I would say this, but we may end up going to North Korea at some point.
Hey, we're going to do Bad Crypto Live Pyongyang version. Here we are, live from Pyongyang. It's Bad Crypto. Travis and Joel.
And then we're going to start laughing, and it's going to be
hilarious.
And
then we'll be imprisoned, and we'll be in a worker camp, and we'll be like...
He did it.
30 years from now, my dead bones will be coming back to America.
Oh, my gosh. This is horrible. This is worse than bad.
It is bad.
Well, let's talk some healthcare blockchain news.
Let's do that.
There's a couple stories here that are at odds with one another. The first one is from healthitanalytics.com. It says 55% of executives say blockchain is poised to disrupt healthcare. Enthusiasm is at a high, and we're starting to see organizations experimenting with real-world pilots, and many of you are here in the room right now that are doing this. But then there's this other, there's a story from health, is this the same website? Oh, no, it isn't. There's healthitanalytics.com and there's healthitsecurity.com.
They look very similar.
They do. Maybe they're owned by the same people.
Wait a second. They are owned by the same people.
Is this fake news?
They have the same little doo-doo-doo.
It's fake news. This one says, few execs believe healthcare IT security tech will be disruptive. So...
Wait, on the same website.
On the That's same website.
Good. Is the same author?
55% say blockchain will be disruptive, but now they're talking about the security that blockchain will bring, and they don't believe it. So if you ever wonder what fake news looks like, this is kind of, I don't get it.
Well, they did a survey, the one where they said that 43% of more than 1,000 respondents have placed blockchain as their most critical organization priorities. And another 29% believe that the distributed ledger methodology is important but not vital. So, I mean, there's a whole lot of people who have said blockchain is at the utmost of importance. Now, I mean, blockchain can impact a lot of different areas of healthcare, right? So, clinical health data exchange and interoperability, that's a big area. Claims, adjudication and billing management, drug supply chain integrity and provenance, pharma clinical trials and population health research, cybersecurity and healthcare IoT, medical records, micropayments, consent management. There's a whole lot of areas that blockchain can come in handy. Like for me, we were having a conversation last night with, who were we chatting with? Oh yeah, we were chatting with the Nelson brothers. And it was like, you know what? I know for me personally, like some of my healthcare records are in Butler, Missouri. Some of them are in Lee Summit, Missouri. Some of them are when I was in the Army. There's no like one place where all my medical records are. Eventually, we'll have a token type of thing, right? Where I'm able to say, boom, you have access to all my medical records now. Boom, right? Because right now, they're all over the place, and who knows?
It's portable.
Yeah.
Can I just say you get a point for using the word adjudication?
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Whenever Mr. Travis Wright used big words, I'm impressed.
It is. I'm up to 7 points.
It's easy to impress me. Here's a really specific one. MetLife, their Asia Singapore Innovation Center, Lumen Lab, has begun testing the world's first automated insurance solution using blockchain to offer pregnant women financial protection in case of gestational diabetes without ever needing to make a claim. Blockchain, that stuff.
Really? It's like Internet of Things? It's like a little device that says something's going on? And
I guess so. So it says here
that...
It's called Vitana. This is their first dedicated insurance project for gestational diabetes. It affects up to 1 in 5 expectant mothers in Singapore. And the way it works is it securely connects the customer's electronic medical records via their mobile device, and it issues a policy within minutes. It triggers an automatic payout upon diagnosis without the need to make a claim. Mm. Yay, blockchain!
That's great. And it says here that it shocks them every time they drink a soda. So weird. It does not say that.
That's not true. That's horrible. You're full on with the horrible today.
All right. And the final piece of news, how will blockchain impact healthcare? There's a bunch of different tech leaders that kind of weighed in with some different quotes that we found were pretty interesting here.
What did they say, Mr. Travis?
They said various different things. Let me get to them here real quick.
Jason Goldwater, who's the senior director at Cedar Bridge Group, says we need to develop a set of metrics and use cases to gauge whether certain blockchain solutions meet a minimum level of functionality to boost the healthcare enterprise. Well, I think that solution we just talked about there from MetLife is certainly a use case. If they can demonstrate that, hey, this works like it's supposed to, women are getting their claim automatically filed and paid like that.
Boom. That cuts down on a lot of expenses. $9.7 billion is the total anticipated global spending on blockchain solutions in 2021 for healthcare, right?
Dr. John Halamka, he is the CIO with Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center, says blockchain is at the peak of the hype curve right now. If we're not careful, it will become a meme for overpromising and underdelivering in healthcare IT. I think he's being a little negative mm-hmm. Nelly there.
I mean, seriously, if you have a problem, just sprinkle some blockchain fairy dust on
blockchain
it.
Blockchain dust.
Solves everything.
I don't think we're at the peak of the hype curve, actually. I think the peak of the hype curve was when the prices were up. I think now people are looking at blockchain like you, everybody who's here at this event, you're looking at practical applications. How mm-hmm. do we make tokenomics work to serve both the providers and the patients?
Yep, and that's what our interviews today are going to be. One final quote here from Tim Mackey, who's a professor at USC. He said, blockchain will unlock data silos of individual patient health information and give consumers ownership of their own digital health identity. That is going to disrupt some things, which will be good.
We like to be super disruptive. Okay, and speaking of being super disruptive, we want to welcome our first guest to the stage here. He is the CTO and the infrastructure architect at GoChain. His name is Mr. Travis Reeder. Travis, come on down.
Yeah. Welcome, good sir.
So GoChain, we've actually welcomed you to the show before. Turns out it was back in April. It's only felt like a month or two, but it was actually 4 months ago.
Yeah, feels like ages. But yeah, thanks for having me on that time.
You missed us so much, you couldn't stand it, right?
Yeah.
So go ahead and kind of summarize GoChain for everybody who's not familiar.
We were trying to solve the Ethereum scaling problems because Ethereum can only do about 13 transactions per second, which basically it's not even fast enough for one application, let alone thousands of applications or dApps running on it. So I come from a cloud infrastructure background, and I've scaled things before. My past company was called Iron.io. We got a message queue up to 1 million transactions per second. So we took Ethereum and made it faster. Our goal was to make it 100 times faster at 1,300 transactions per second, and that's exactly what we did. So made it faster, and in the meantime, we came up with a new consensus algorithm so we could do that. We are also much greener because we don't have, 50,000 nodes running this proof of work consensus and wasting electricity. And we've forced to be decentralized at least 10x what the current reality is, which is, the promise of decentralization, the reality is 70 to 80% of all the miners are in China owned by four different companies. So
there's a lot of centralization, actually. Definitely. When you think about how fast that is, right? I think everybody's probably sent Bitcoin from one, wallet to another. If you haven't, you will soon.
That's what we ask. Who here has done some crypto trades or sent crypto?
Anything at all.
Okay. There we go.
So if you've done that, especially with Bitcoin, you notice, hey, it could take 10 minutes. Sometimes if, the blockchain is super clogged up, I've seen 30 to 60 minutes for, transaction to come through. GoChain, if you were to send something right now, how long would it take to land?
Yes, so we have Ethereum's 15-second block times, and it gets a lot worse if the network's clogged up.
CryptoKitties clog up the Ethereum blockchain.
That's true. Lately, it's almost always clogged up. It's hard to get your transactions through in a short amount of time, and you can pay more to get them through faster than other people. But we have 1,300 transactions per second, and our blocks are 5 seconds. So your confirmation times are also a lot quicker. And there's yet to be a gas war or any kind of congestion. So,
How did you get
how did you grow that like 100x? You know, so here's Ethereum. There's a lot of really smart people who have been working on the Ethereum project, and they're at 13 transactions a second. You were able to ramp that up to 1,300 transactions. How are you able to do that? And maybe how does that benefit, you know, some different healthcare companies that are maybe thinking about utilizing GoChain for their project?
Sure. The answer to how we did it is there's no one answer. I mean, it was 1,000 little things. You know, one is changing the consensus algorithm from proof of work. We took the Ethereum code base and optimized the hell out of it. You know, we've optimized the storage, we've optimized the networking. So it's a whole bunch of little things that add up. Our goal for next year is to try and 10x that again and get to 13,000. We'll see if we can do it, but that's our goal.
He's going to Grant Cardone that. We're going to 10x it. Yeah. Boom.
10x or 10x?
That would be 100x.
That's good.
For reference, Visa, like for every credit card transaction in the world, their network handles 24,000. So when you're in the 24,000 kind of range, you can handle, you know, every transaction of all credit cards.
You're talking about Visa, MasterCard.
Yeah.
For the Visa, when you're swiping,
just Visa.
They can handle 24,000 per second.
Yeah, and that handles all Visa transactions in the world. And that's kind of what their network can handle. I think they say on certain days of the year, it'll go up and they can spike up to like 58,000, but their daily kind of network runs at about 20.
Right, holidays, I'm sure it goes like that.
Yeah.
People are swiping and chipping. I think that's why they did the new chip. Not because the technology is better, but because it slows down your transaction, right?
Makes it easier to keep up.
It does. Like, we live in this culture where I want everything faster. And it used to be you'd step up and swipe. Boom. Thank you very much. Wait, don't insert your card. Not yet. Okay.
We got to wait for the network congestion to go down.
Put it in now.
I need to use GoChain.
Wait, and you're sitting there. You just want to sign the damn thing.
Don't pull it out.
Don't pull it out too soon.
Yeah. That's what she said.
Don't say that. We're at a professional event.
You started it. Baited me.
Good stuff. So what are some other things about the GoChain network that maybe you'd like people to know about? Because for one, I was blown away by how fast it is, the scalability, and the fact that you're using not very much electricity and a lot of really cool infrastructure stuff there. So maybe kind of share that with the audience. Because there's a lot of people, not just in here, but that are listening to Bad Crypto who are thinking about, hey, I got this project idea. Like, why should they use GoChain?
A lot of projects that are already on Ethereum, they've kind of screwed up already because games and these apps are too slow, right? And so they've already launched. You can't remove these assets from a blockchain. They're there forever. Even the CryptoKitties company, they're looking for their next game. They're not going to do it on Ethereum. It's too slow.
What, are they talking about who they're going to do it on?
Well, we're trying to get them to use us.
You're
we'll
wooing the next case.
Yeah, any apps that kind of need higher throughput, cheaper fees, were 7,500 times cheaper in terms of the cost of the transactions.
7,500?
Yeah.
Wow.
At least. That's if Ethereum's not congested. Mm. Usually the gas wars make it go up. Some other things, though, too. We're treating this like a business. You know, Ethereum came around, they launched this network, and then basically the whole team just dispersed, right? There's nobody running that. It's not a company. You can't go and get tech support, for example.
Can't go to the Ethereum headquarters.
Yeah.
No. Vitalik would not welcome you to his place.
Right.
Probably not.
So we have a customer success team. If anybody wants to deploy on us and work with us, we're happy to help you and teach how to do it. All the Ethereum tools work on our blockchain too. So if you're used to Ethereum, you can just deploy to us in the same way.
So can't you just kind of like pick it up? And if you built it on Ethereum, you can just go pick it up and move it to GoChain?
You can move the code, but unfortunately the assets are there forever. Oh. They'll never, you can't.
So you can just kind of like reference them then?
They'd have to kind of remake the assets on the different chain. Like, you can't get rid of the kitties. They're there for life.
Not in my case, because I lost mine.
He did. Yeah. His kitties are abandoned. They're starving somewhere on the Ethereum blockchain.
It's true.
Oh, I should add, we just got listed on Bittrex yesterday.
Congratulations.
Pretty awesome.
That's nice. Yeah.
That's one of the big ones. That's one of the big exchanges there.
It's a big U.S. exchange, which is
And good. There's voting going on.
Yeah, there's a voting for Binance community vote right now. There's five of us, and we're in the lead. If you guys have a Binance account, please go and vote for us.
Price has been going up. Like, his net worth has probably doubled or tripled
the
past week.
I want to cast my vote. I'm going to click on GoChain.
Yes,
there we go.
There we go. GoChain it up. Very
nice. I get a little sticker that says I voted.
That's true.
That's good. Travis, where can people go find out more about GoChain?
GoChain.io. And from there, you can find links to, you know, everything else, Telegram and... documentation and all that stuff. So
excellent. Let's give it up for Mr. Travis Reed or GoChain.
Thank you, brother.
Thanks, bud. And now you have to go, Chain. Yeah. And we're going to welcome our next guest up to the platform right now. If you're going to blame anybody for us being here, it's probably this gentleman. Mm-hmm. He is the president and co-founder of Briovation. Briovation is short for Innovation Catalyst, and they are seeking to catalyze a revolution in health through innovation. His name is Mr. Marcus Whitney. Blame him. It's all his
That's
fault.
True.
Okay, so talk a little bit about Briovation.
Sure. So we are a company that's passionate about the importance of fixing the healthcare industry. The industry affects every single one of us, right? We're all going to be patients at one point in time.
I'm impatient. Are we done yet?
You'll be dead soon, though.
Oh, man, this is brutal.
I mean, you're really
hopefully
old.
Not soon.
Well, soon.
He's really old,
hopefully
though.
Not soon.
Old he is.
In light of eternity, right? We're here for a blip. We just want it to be a healthy blip.
You're a young man. Hopefully you live for a long time.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
You hear that, Mr. Travis Wright? I'm a young man.
You're true.
And we need a healthcare system that's going to take care of you,
yes,
right? And keep you healthy. And so what's really cool about the healthcare industry is it's got the most caring people in the world that work within it, right? I mean, clinicians, practitioners, nurses, the people who run the businesses. But we've got a lot of dysfunction in the industry, you know, innovation, not just in terms of technology, but also new ways of thinking about delivering care, new ways of business models. All of those things have the potential to really improve the industry, save lives, and save us all a bunch of money. And so we're passionate about that. We do that through an investment fund called Jumpstart. And we also have an event where we gather people, and we're at that event now, Hell Further.
Wow, it's like an inception moment.
We do an
event, and you're at that event.
Very nice. So tell us about, Briovation is doing a lot of really cool stuff, innovating within healthcare. So tell us, how did you stumble upon, you know, blockchain? When did your blockchain rabbit hole begin? And what are some of the things that you're seeing, you know, that are blockchain and healthcare related that really kind of blow you away?
I'm a technologist. I bought my first Bitcoin. Actually, it was on my bachelor party. And yeah, we were riding up to Louisville for the Bourbon Trail. And one of the guys was like really, really deep in it. Funny enough, he was part of the Mt. Gox thing, so he's not in it anymore. But he was like, oh, man, Bitcoin's going awesome. And we were all like, what's this Bitcoin thing?
So why would you need Bitcoin at a bachelor's party?
Don't ask. Don't ask.
You know what I call that?
Never ask someone what they did at a bachelor
party. That's
called breaking all rules, Joel.
It's cryptocurrency. Right?
I don't think they were accepting crypto.
They didn't have their QR codes out.
I mean, that's been 5 years ago, basically. So I've been in it that long. Last year, I really started to get into the space, thinking about the technology. And it's so obvious. There's so many aspects of the healthcare industry that are over-centralized and where decentralization could really, really make a difference. And so as investors, obviously, we started to really dig in. We started an initiative called Tokenizing Health, which is also the name of this event. At Health Further. And it was really a research project. It was to go out and find every company we could, every project that was out there that was trying to use blockchain to make healthcare better. And we actually decided to really look at the ones who were using tokens, and we're trying to do public ones like Bitcoin and Ethereum. And we found close to 200. And they had basically started in the last year and a half. And so we realized, wow, that's a lot of new initiatives in a very, very short period of time. Mm-hmm. And so that...
And many of them are here.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. A lot of them are here. And so that really spurred us to sort of make this something that we need to really focus on. We need to create an event around. We need to start investing. We need to get into the space because it's moving faster than I think people realize.
So now that you've brought so many people together and you're discovering, right, even as people show up and tell you what they're doing, where is your finger on the pulse of when this is going to really go mainstream?
We're years away, for sure. This is the right time, I think, to get into it because it's a project where we're building out infrastructure. We're building out the business models. We all know the regulatory environment is not clear enough, I would say, to have a clear path to move forward. So,
but that can change
with one ruling.
100%,
right?
Which is why now is the time to get in, right? You don't want to wait until all that stuff is worked out to start. So, I mean, the people who are in this room, who we've been talking to, some of the companies we've invested in, hopefully you'll hear from them in the pitch session. These are the people who, as soon as the environment gets right, right, they'll be ready. They'll have the solutions. They'll have worked through all the issues. And that's who I want to spend my time with. So it is going to be some years. By the way, that's not just like a blockchain thing. If you've done anything in healthcare, this is the slowest sort of adoption rate for any innovation. Sales cycles.
Well, they got to do all those clinical tests.
Yeah, no. I mean, whether you're talking, that's right. So
they got to print the papers out. And
It's sad. They are.
Okay,
still
you say
printing
some.
The papers out. It's sad. We are still printing the papers out.
Can we quantify some years? What is some to you?
That's very vague, Marcus. Yeah. That's kind of
because and just you know.
I don't want to make my friends in the audience who are launching these companies upset by saying what I think.
No. Let's upset everybody. Come on. What do you think?
What I think, really?
Yeah. Get ready to be upset. Get angry.
Storm the stage.
I think maybe they'll agree. Maybe they won't. I feel like it's 5 years.
5 years till mainstream adoption.
Five years till it's mature enough. You know, until there's enough understanding, until it's been worked out enough to like really. I mean, I
thought you were going to say 7 years, so I'm not nearly as angry as I thought I was going to be.
Oh yeah, okay, good. Okay, well, I'm glad you're not too mad about that.
They're smiling. Yeah. I don't think anybody's, and I don't see anything wrong with that, honestly, because if you know, you look at the technology adoption curve for any technology, and you've got your pioneers that are the, you know, less than 1%. Then you've got your early adopters that are like the 2 to 5%. And then you start getting into your mainstream adoption. I believe, you know, if you look at the invisible curve that I'm drawing with my finger, we're still in the early adopter phase, which
for
means
sure.
That upswing to where most people are comfortable, that happens as we're approaching the top of that curve. And then we come down the other side and we're like, whee, like this over here. And then you get to the stragglers that will, the people here are still figuring out how to program the clock on their VCR, right?
Right.
And they're never going to blockchain until they're dragged forcibly to
there's
do
an
so.
Interesting, there's an interesting quote that I read just the other day. I think it was yesterday that Coinbase did a survey of college students. And they said that 18% of U.S. college students have crypto. So a younger generation are totally adopting it at a much higher rate, which to me, 18% of college students, that seems high. I don't know. Let me ask you this. So what final things would you like to tell, you know, our audience about Health Further and BrioVation and what's next and what's on the roadmap for you?
Yeah, so I mean, I think more research, more investments. We've made two so far in the blockchain space. We want to make a lot more. So that's why we're doing the research, more community building. I think there's a lot of situations. I've talked to several entrepreneurs where I feel like, you know, you two should actually really figure out a way to work together, collaborate, put your technologies together. They're not, you know, they're sort of point solutions. They really can make a really powerful platform if you collaborated more. And then I think, you know, we have to get way more real world examples going, you know, find a willing partner that's going to experiment with you. And most of what I've seen so far out there looks like that, right?
So basically it's blockchain guinea pigs.
Yeah. I mean, the majority of the healthcare industry is not into risk, as you might expect, right? But there are...
Well, it's very litigious space, right?
For sure. For sure. It's yeah, exactly. So let's say 5% of all the healthcare space, they're into innovating, they're into pushing the needle, and they have resources dedicated to it. Find those people and get test projects, and you'll learn together, and you'll make some money, but you'll learn together, and eventually you'll get to the point where we have something that's viable for the real world.
And it'll help if you all hold hands when you do that.
Can I say kumbaya?
Sing kumbaya. No. Yeah, it'll just be a delightful time. Marcus Whitney of BrioVation. Thanks so much, Marcus.
Appreciate it, man. Great stuff. All right, let's go ahead and do the crypto pitch.
The
right?
Crypto pitch, the 30-second ladies and crypto gentlemen. Pitch.
Ah! Yes.
And we have gotten some victims, I mean, friends from the audience that are all associated with some blockchain or crypto-oriented project in the healthcare field. And they will have 30 seconds, and we will be timing you, with which to share your message. But first, you'll say your name and who you're with. And then we'll start the time. And when you hear the buzzer, that's the buzzer.
Or bididit, whichever one I choose.
Whatever noise.
Radar.
He picks.
By the seaside.
Then I don't hear it.
You don't like that one?
That's, I don't hear it. Just use your voice. Just do the manual Travis buzzer.
Oh. So zen.
Okay. When you hear some sound come from Travis's phone.
I'm going to mix them up because I like to do
your
that.
Your time is up, and then we will move on to the next person. So here we go.
There's some great projects in here. I can tell by looking at them.
And
they look very smart.
To make sure that everybody hears you and that we get the recording, please hold the mic close and speak into it. And you are?
Tom Nguyen.
With?
Amrify.
Are you ready, Tom?
Based right here in Nashville. Yes, I am.
Boom. Go.
Amrify, we're trying to collect, aggregate, and decentralize the personal health record so that we can deliver trusted health information to the right hands at the right time. Our goal is to empower you to own your own data. We believe in the future of data-driven, patient-centric healthcare. For stakeholders, this means a lot more data available at lower costs. For more information, check out amrify.com.
Very nice. You had 2 seconds to spare. Nice job.
Excellent. Give him a hand.
He's not tired of winning.
So your name?
Raj Sharma. I'm with HealthWiz.
Okay. And your clock starts now.
HealthWiz is all about gamification of your health. So one of the unique things about HealthWiz is that we give the tools and the utilities for you as a user to gamify your health as well as your peers' health. You can set up campaigns, you can set up health-related challenges, you can find sponsors to fund those challenges, or you can fund them yourself. The idea is you eat better food, you exercise daily, you keep your health in good shape, and you earn rewards points, and those are really cryptocurrencies that you can redeem for Amazon gift cards.
And your time is up. Give him a hand, though.
Very nice. Well done. That sounds like Fitcoin.
Stop playing games with my health, man. All right, come on up.
That was great.
Step right here between
us. That was a really bad sound. Let me change that sound a bit.
Stage front here, come on, step up.
You know, we're at a little bit of a disadvantage from the South because we talk kind of slow.
You talk a little
slow. Okay, we'll give you 35 seconds.
Now listen.
You're in Nashville, 5 second buffer.
I lived in Texas for near on 12 years in Oklahoma.
Your time's up, Joel.
For 8, and I reckon I could put this thing on if I want to, sure enough. All right, your name?
Oh, John Bass.
And you're with?
Hashed Health.
Hashed Health.
Hashed Health.
All right, sounds good.
And action.
So Hashed Health was one of the first to market in the healthcare blockchain space. We've been doing it every day for about over two years now. We started off by building community. The second year was really about engaging big companies and their blockchain strategies and initiatives. And then 2018 is about taking all of that and learning about which products are the low-hanging fruit in terms of market readiness and technical potential business models. So we've got 3 products that are going to market. One is professional credentialing. It's like KYC for physicians under the name ProCredex. The second is a value-based contracting engine. And the third is the Bramble decentralized marketplace.
Very
nice. He's like Honey Badger. He don't care.
He is good. That's
I'm
good.
From the South. I keep talking. Thank you so much. Well done. Come on up.
That was great.
All right. Let's give a hand for our only daring female who has...
Yeah, you're so brave.
Come step up here. Step up to the microphone. Your name?
Heather Flannery.
Hold a little closer.
Heather Flannery.
And you're with?
Consensus.
Lovely.
Yes, we love Consensus.
Them.
High five.
There you go. All right. Go for it.
Consensus is an extraordinary organization with more than 50 active projects going on in the blockchain space. I'm going to tell you about one of them very quickly, focused on opioid abuse remediation and prevention. We are looking to recruit partners and collaborators from academia and government and healthcare delivery organizations to run crypto economic experiments in 2 aspects that drive opioid abuse. One of those is in corruption and fraud that happens in the supply chain, and the other is on creating incentives to advantage recovery for the population with addiction.
Very nice.
Well
Very
done.
Nice.
You got it in there.
That's
like
a great cause right there.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much, Ms.
Flannery. All right, come on down. You got to follow that up. That's going to be a tough act. What's your name?
My name is Lee Brenner.
Lee, and you're with?
The Global Blockchain Business Council.
The Global Blockchain
That sounds very
Business
official.
Council, the GBBC.
Very global.
BC.
And it's right. a council.
It is a council.
Wow.
All right, let's do it.
Ready? Global Blockchain Business Council is the leading global trade association for the blockchain ecosystem, headquartered in Switzerland. We're basically around the world representing blockchain companies and thought leaders to help educate regulators and business leaders on the potential use cases and real-world use cases happening now on within the ecosystem. So all different industries, and we're trying to make sure that we're building partnerships and people know actually what is happening and how it can be utilized in real-world cases before they make regulation or make decisions for their companies.
Very nice.
Boom, right on time.
Boom, nicely done.
He had 1 second left. You could bank that for a future show.
I know, in case I want it now.
You want the 1 second. Go.
At gbbcouncil. Wait.
What was that?
At gbbcouncil.
Boom.
gbbcouncil.io?
Excellent.
.org. Boom, because it's an org.
Come on down.
Hi, everyone. My name is Alex Jurgen, and I'm from DataWallet. I think we may have been on your show
you guys,
before.
You were on the show a lot, like last year.
I recognize the jacket.
Yes. All right, here we go.
Hey, it's natural in the summer. All that to seersucker.
There's 30 seconds on the shot clock, and go.
So DataWallet is a company that is going to transform the world's data ecosystem. Using an easy-to-use application, individual internet users can take control of their data and control where it goes and utilize that data. Number one use case, receiving compensation for it. But in the healthcare vertical, there are all sorts of other ways that people will be able to permission their data to be used for AI applications and other applications to serve them. We're a very easy to use app. We're going to give power back to the user, back to the creator of the data.
Da-da-da-da-da-da.
Beep. Power to the people.
Good job. Thank you so much.
Well done. Excellent.
Nicely done. DataWallet.io?
.com.
Step on up, my friend, and you are getting the mic from Travis.
There you go.
Hi, I'm Guy Aronofsky, CEO and co-founder of Proof.Work.
Proof.Work.
That's the domain name. Also.
Proof.Work.
Proof.Work.
Secure, shareable healthcare data.
Excellent.
And
all right. 30
ready?
Seconds.
Action.
At Proof, we are committed to solve the multi-billion-dollar problem of healthcare interoperability, leveraging decades of expertise in healthcare, AI, security, cryptography, and distributed systems. Our technology enables healthcare incumbents like hospitals, clinics, and doctors to leverage their existing system and to share their patient data. Based in Israel, we are the only cryptocurrency company that is working with the official banks in Israel. We are the only blockchain-related company which is funded by the Israel Innovation Authority. And we are proud to be part of the Jumpstart Foundry.
Yes. Hey, give me
nicely
hand.
Done. Nicely done.
Shalom, my friend. What's your name?
My name is Jason Fisher. I am representing Remedy Chain. I'm the founder, one of the founders.
What's the chain?
Remedy Chain.
Remedy.
Remedy.
Remedy. Okay,
got it.
30 seconds.
Boom. Action.
So Remedy Chain, we are reclaiming medicine. It's often referred to as America's other drug problem. 20% of prescription drugs have to be destroyed. That is $100 billion a year of medication that has to be destroyed. There are uninsured and underinsured people all over this country that don't have access to those medicines. One of the top 20 chemo drugs cost anywhere from $37,000 to $12,000 a month. Mm. And there are people that are dying for those.
Mm. Remedy Chain helps that.
Thank you very much, Remedy Chain.
Thank you kindly.
Come on down. Hello, who we got?
Hello.
Brennan Hodge.
And This is true. This is not fake news. His name's right there.
On the blockchain.
Yeah. With who?
Citizen Health.
Citizen Health. Hold it up close.
All right.
30 seconds.
And two and action.
All right. Our mission is to provide optimal healthcare and affordable care for everyone in need. We're doing this with two core developments, Humantiv OS. It's a health and wellness operating system that allows your users to connect their wearables of choosing, do healthy things, and get paid with cryptocurrency, which they can use on our second development, which is Metaplex, the decentralized health and wellness marketplace, where healthcare buyers and sellers can come together and transact directly without insurance. Tying these two together, we have something called Health as a Service. It's a monthly subscription to a better and healthier you, and this is a better alternative to health insurance.
Very nice.
Nicely done. Congratulations. Fantastic. Right on, and number 10, last but perhaps the best distressed. So
that's true.
This is good.
Thank you for noticing.
Look at this. He's got one of those pocket square things. Yeah, so fancy, brother.
This is nice.
So I did it for you guys. I did it.
We appreciate
it. Wins your socks. Oh, look at the socks, too.
Yeah.
Very good. But they're going to be like white tube socks. I was going to be like, your time's already up. But no, nice.
All right.
Nice.
Tell us who you are.
I am Mark Adesso. I'm from the law firm.
Hold that up. Hold your own.
My name is Mark Adesso.
Oh, nice.
Notice when he did that, he also lowered his voice a little bit here. If I'm going to hold the mic up here, I want to sound super sexy.
It's working.
It is good.
It's meow. And you're with?
Waller. It's a law firm headquartered here in Nashville, Tennessee.
Okay. And you have 30 seconds. Don't abuse it. Go.
All right. So Waller is the number one healthcare law firm in the Southeast, as ranked by the American Bar Association. We also have a killer blockchain practice. As way of example, I'll note my client, the Praetorian Group, Inc., which is the first company in the world to file an S-1 registration statement with the United States Securities and Exchange Commission, the SEC. We also believe it'll be the first one to get registered so that its tokens will be available for sale to anyone in the world, regardless of accreditation or investor status. If you want to supercharge your blockchain company like the Praetorian Group, wallerlaw.com.
There you go. Well done, my friend. That is a group of super eloquent people. Let's give them all a hand. And I applaud you, Mr. Travis.
Thank you.
Right?
We have done these all over the world, and I would have to say that was the best 10.
That was the best 10.
That we've seen.
No doubt. Let's weave this all together here, because we've had as a guest a gentleman who has developed a blockchain that is appropriate for healthcare and other dApps to be built on. We've spoken with an investor who was working with these companies to help bring it all together. And now we have a gentleman right here that is the co-founder of Nebula Genomics. His name is Kamal Obad. And Kamal, come on up here and let's bring this all together. Give him a hand. This is a case of end-use product in blockchain and healthcare, right?
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about Nebula Genomics.
So Nebula Genomics is building a platform that helps people securely and privately share their health data. So we're trying to turn the business model around that a lot of personal genomics companies like 23andMe or Ancestry DNA have today, which is they essentially get the consumer to pay for their own sequencing, genotyping, and they turn around and sell that data for a markup. This has led to a few issues. One is there's a lot of fragmentation of genomic data sets today. So it makes it hard for pharma companies, medical researchers, healthcare practitioners to access large scale and aggregate genomic and health data. Two, a lot of the genomic data that exists today is certain demographics that aren't always that compelling to researchers. And three, since people are paying for their own genotyping or genome sequencing, we're relying on consumer adoption before whole genome sequencing or genotyping becomes widespread. And what we've seen to this day is, you know, if you do genotyping or whole genome sequencing like 23andMe, you don't get much more than a bunch of fun facts, which hasn't compelled enough people to do it. So, you know, for a little context setting, 15 years ago, whole genome sequencing was $3 billion per genome. Today, it's $1,000 per genome. And that's, you know, almost an unrivaled decrease in price over the time frame. And our co-founder, George Church, was a big part of building out why the technologies that made that cost go down. But despite that, there's been very low adoption of the technology. So we're trying to build a system that incentivizes people to first get sequenced and then share that data with having certain security and privacy.
So also, I have a question.
You mentioned 23andMe, right?
Yeah, just the other day. Yeah, because I bought the 23andMe thing, and then you know, you got to spit in the tube and then you mail it off. But like, then I did some research right before I mailed it off, and I'm like, wait a second. The wife of one of the Google founders owns 23andMe. I don't know that I want the Google people to know my genetic, you know, sequencing. And so my question is about privacy then. So adding blockchain to, you know, the genomes, how are you able to be anonymous in a scenario like that? Because I don't necessarily want everybody to know my vulnerabilities.
Yeah.
As a
kryptonite.
That's a good point.
Mountain Dew.
There's this like weird balance, I think. We're saying, you know, we're using blockchain to be secure and privatize your data. But again, blockchains are public. Anyone can read from it. You're not actually sharing your data publicly through using our platform. You're just allowing people to compute on your data so they can run analysis. And everything remains encrypted. It has limited.
So you don't know who it is. You just know what it is.
You just know what it is. So you essentially, a researcher can come in, say, I want access to these different phenotypes or traits. I want to run a query and get back a result. And over time, we're adding more and more functionality to this secure computation platform that's specific to genomic data.
Excellent. Now, you actually worked at Google for a time, right?
Yeah, I did.
So, you know, and you don't have to answer this, but are his, you know, those fears that Travis has, are those echoed by others when you think about Google having all this data?
So when I was at Google, I was actually working on GDPR compliance there. So I was exposed to a lot of the concerns people have about how their personal data is being used. I think it's going to become a bigger issue in 5-10 years with health data, specifically genomic data. The thing we're trying to avoid here is, you know, let's not have a Google of genomics. So not, let's not have this one company that has such a big data moat that no one can compete with them, right? The consumer loses in this scenario. So if we can build a decentralized platform that anyone can build on top of, we avoid that scenario. So we're trying to get ahead of the wave because personal genomics is going to become mainstream. At some point, I think in the near future, everyone's going to get genome sequenced. We've talked to insurance companies. They're starting to look at it already. You look at projects in the UK, they've kind of proven that with Genomics England and UK Biobank, they've proven that, you know, if we sequence everyone in the population, we'll save the healthcare system money on the whole.
You'll be able to go to your Starbucks. Yeah, I'll take a mocha latte grande super duper thing and, you know, my genomics.
Seriously. I mean, you don't know what your data will be used for if you rely on one company to store it.
How long until we can start changing our genomics and be all like, you know what, I'd like to be 6'2" and...
Like in real time?
Yeah.
Like right now?
Are they going to be able just to like start sequencing the data and be like, all right, I've identified this and go in and make changes?
I want to be able to grow more facial hair.
Like super epic beard.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not soon enough, unfortunately.
No, sorry.
So I have a vision that like once that's able to happen, there's going to be a time where you're going to be able to walk into a bar and it's going to be like the cantina bar at Star Wars. Like there's going to be blue people like big horns and like... Like changing their genomes.
Solo. Huh? Remember, Han was ready. But the other dude
shot first.
Yeah, he did.
That's true. Right on. Anything else that you'd like folks to know about the whole genome world?
No, I mean, I just want to generally increase awareness about genome sequencing and how the data is valuable to consumers, but it's really, really valuable to researchers.
Mm-hmm. And what's the website again?
Nebula.org.
Nebula.org.
Yes, you guys can check it out.
Nebula.org. Come out.
Right on.
Thank you so much. Give him a hand. Well done, sir. Pleasure to meet you.
Nice to meet you. I appreciate it.
He just stole both of our DNA as he shook our hands, and he's going to go map us. I know.
What would you possibly do with my DNA?
Well, they would make amazing podcasters in the future.
Breed podcasters. That's crazy. Well, that's going to wrap it up for this episode of the Bad Crypto Podcast.
How boring was that?
Yeah.
Is that horrible?
Terrifically boring. You can go to badco.in/179 for all the show notes. Be sure to subscribe, follow. We are on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Google Play, Spotify, iHeartRadio, SoundCloud, CastBox, and in Travis's brain.
Mm-hmm.
You can just subscribe, just like right there in the brain.
Very good. And as always, as we like to say at the end of each episode,
that's
there
great.
You go. Right on.
I think we got it, actually.
Right? That's good. That was pretty good. We don't need to say anything else.
Yeah, that was
right
it.
On. Okay. Thank you so much, everyone.
Thanks. Appreciate it. And stay bad.
And stay bad.
Who's bad? The Bad Crypto Podcast is a production of Bad Crypto LLC. The content of the show, the videos, and the website is provided for educational, informational, and entertainment purposes only. It's not intended to be and does not constitute financial, investment, or trading advice of any kind. You shouldn't make any decisions as to finances, investing, trading, or anything else based on this information without undertaking independent due diligence and consultation with a professional financial advisor. Please understand that the trading of Bitcoins and alternative cryptocurrencies have potential risks involved. Anyone wishing to invest in any of the currencies or tokens mentioned on this podcast should first seek their own independent professional financial advisor.